Psalm 51, our primary text. The thought this morning is cleaning house. I think it was Connor, way back when those kids were constantly coming up with something odd for me to use as a subject matter, who challenged me to do a lesson on cleaning house. It's been a while since I answered one of those challenges. So spring cleaning's upon us, why not? The only thing I hate more than having a dirty house is cleaning. And so the subject of cleaning house might not be your favorite. I doubt it's at the top of anybody's, or at least not very many people's, top 10 things of the most exciting things to do this week or the things that I look forward to. But it is a necessity unless you like living in squalor. There at least has to be some attempt every once in a while to clean, to declutter, to take out the trash, to remove the pizza boxes from the nightstand, the cereal bowls from the coffee table. Besides it not being on our top 10, what do we immediately think of when we think of house cleaning? We think of the fact that it's a full-time job. By the time you finish with one room and move to the next, Dickie has decided to clean a carburetor in the kitchen sink. Or Precious has decided to walk through the house after the morning downpour. Or your kids decide to reenact the most recent basketball game in your living room. And that's a constant at my house. The battle not only to keep the basketballs out of the floor, but to keep the lamps on the table and the pictures on the wall. So you have to stay on top of it. Especially with kids, especially with husbands, especially with animals. You cannot at any point really stop cleaning and picking up. Number two, if you have a clutter issue along with routine cleaning, you have to try to declutter without letting it build back up by the time you turn around. If you have that catch-all table that's by the front door and it stays piled with clutter, by the time you unclutter it, the kids come home from school and throw their backpacks on it. Clutter has a way of moving in to any empty space. So let's take those thoughts and let's transfer them to our spiritual houses, our spiritual lives. And then we're going to add one other thought to it towards the end. Number one, spiritual cleaning is not necessarily a lot of fun. It requires a major dose of humility that admits that there's something amiss or dirty or wrong in our spiritual lives, and we have to do something about it. It's also a lot of work. When you start cleaning out old habits, when you start trying to get rid of old grudges, or you start trying to learn to forgive yourself for past mistakes, it's a lot of hard work to remain clean. Number two, it's not the end of the job. Jesus warns, when the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. It doesn't find anywhere. So it says to itself, I will return to the house from which I came. When it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. You've gone through and you've gotten rid of the clutter, gotten rid of the sin, and left it sparkling clean. You didn't put anything else in its place. So the spirit goes and brings along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they come and live there The last condition of that person becomes worse than the first. That's the way it's going to be with this evil generation. You know, as we get rid of one negative thing, as we get rid of one negative emotion, or we get rid of a sin or a habit, if we're not replacing it with something good, that void, nature cannot stand a void, is going to be filled by something. We have to be cognizant of the need to replace it with good. That's why passages like Philippians 4, dwell on these things. Fill up the empty space in the thoughts with the good things. Might even think of Galatians 5, where we remove the deeds of the flesh and we replace them with the fruit of the Spirit. Now then, one of the other thoughts that we had about house cleaning is it's a full-time job. That's going to be the first of these two big ones. And then one more. Like cleaning your house. Like keeping your desk in order. Like keeping your financial records straight. Spiritual spring cleaning is a full-time job. We never get it all right. And even when we confess and we repent and we make it right and we're putting good things where bad things were, humanity kicks in. And we still mess up. We still dirty the house. Have you ever noticed, and you might make this a project if you're a daily Bible reader, when you come to the book of Psalms. And by the way, Jeff, when you texted me the other day and asked me what the scripture reading was, I almost told you it's Psalm 119. Make this a project. As you're reading the Psalms, notice how many times David confesses, repents, and asks for forgiveness. David wore out the knees of his jeans, bowing before the throne of God. David wore out the carpet in front of the throne, constantly saying, God, I've messed up again. Forgive me. Go back to that text and just start scanning with your eyes in verse 1. Be gracious to me, God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Notice the confession too. I know my transgression. Against thee have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Verse 7. Purify me with hyssop. Wash me. Let my bones that were broken rejoice. Hide your face. Blot out. 11 times in 19 verses, David utters some sort of repentance. In about that many times, he confesses his sin. It's a full-time job. That's a man after God's own heart. That's a man that God tapped to be the next king when Saul's reign wasn't going the direction God wanted it to. So if David struggled that much to keep the house clean, and he was constantly having to make it right, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job for any of us. That, what David's doing in Psalm 51, that is our part of cleaning our souls, cleaning our spiritual houses. That process of confession. There has to come a point where not only do we know that we're guilty, but we're ready to own up to it. We're willing to admit it. Jeff actually read the context for us there at the beginning of Psalm 51. This is David pouring out his heart after Nathan approaches him for his sin with Bathsheba. When Nathan pointed at him and said, "You're the man," it broke David's heart. And he confessed. We have to take responsibility for our actions. I'm the one that created the clutter in my life. I'm the one that created the stains. 1 John 1 verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's righteous. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what David was looking for in Psalm 51, isn't it? John says, there it is. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. It's confession. We have to ask for forgiveness. Confessing and asking for forgiveness are two different things. One can confess without remorse. One can confess without feeling a need to be forgiven. Yeah, I did it. So what? David repented. Godly sorrow. A recognition that we have wronged God. And we're moved by that fact. If we will allow it to, can lead us to repentance. We'll do more than feel sorry for it. We'll even do more than confess it. We will make it right. Repentance is a desire to change both our hearts and our actions. As well as a following through with that course. Then we have to try to keep it clean. Romans 1, or Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Far from it. How shall we have died to sin, still live in it? Got to make it right. And got to keep trying to make it right. Got to stay the course. Can't ask for forgiveness once and then think that that's going to take care of it tomorrow. All right, now here's the big one. And I really, whether you're in this building or you're online, I want you to listen to me for a few minutes. We cannot cleanse ourselves. Once we sin, we are contaminated. We cannot undo that. We cannot take it away on our own. There is nothing that I can do to undo the fact that I sinned. Absolutely, I can recognize it, confess it, repent of it, try to make it right, do right from now on, but I cannot erase the mark on my soul. Don't get me wrong. We have to do our part. We have to take care of those things. But when we've done them at that point, God has to step in and do the actual cleansing. He has to do the cleaning. Good news this morning is He's good at it. He's really good at it. He's actually perfect when it comes to cleansing our souls. God takes black sin, He applies red blood to it, and He washes us white as snow, Revelation 7, verse 14. The blood of Jesus at Calvary, the blood that flowed from the hands and the back and the head and the side, that blood cleanses us of all sin. And we walk away whiter than snow. And so we're going to demonstrate for a few minutes. This is God. This is mankind. This is sin. And I'm not sure why mankind ended up behind an empty cup. But anyway. This is good. And this is Jesus. When we're born without God, we're void of a spirit. We have a life spirit like the animals around us, but we have no soul. But if we go back to Genesis, when God created man, God poured some of himself into mankind. We were what? We were created in his image. And so we come into the world pure. We're clean. But then, like Adam and Eve, we let the humanity part take over. We let our desires for the things of the world begin to catch up with us. And sin begins to enter our life. And I want you to notice whether you add just a little bit or you add a whole lot, either way, we're contaminated by the sin. And back to where we were earlier, I need you to understand that at this point, there's nothing I can do about it. I cannot pour out just the sin and keep the Spirit. I cannot add enough good back to my life, even if I never sin again. I cannot add enough good back to my life to do away with the contamination. So God had to do something about the situation. Because God loves me. God created me in his image. God desires that all men everywhere come to repentance. And so it's not like he wants me to stay in this situation. So God sent his son. And as his son is applied to my life, the sin disappears. And I'm pure again. Now then, I'm going to come back to the illustration. Remember the old ad, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs, this is your brain with a side order of bacon. When that cup goes red with sin, that's your life on sin. There's nothing you can do about it. But God steps in, and I want to combine some verses for you this morning and show you how this process is applied. How Jesus is applied directly to my life. Revelation 7, 13 and 14 that I reference says, John is looking into heaven. He sees this innumerable multitude. You've got the 144,000 that are just from the tribes of Israel, and then you've got this crowd that cannot be counted. So we have no idea how many are going to be in heaven. But they're standing in front of the throne of the Lamb. So they've been invited into God's presence. And in reference to that crowd, one of the elders says to John, those that are clothed in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? See the look on John's face. I don't know, but you know. You tell me. You're the one giving me the tour. You're the one explaining all of this stuff to me. These are the ones that have come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. God's ability as a launderer. How are they washed? God just wave a magic wand? Pour a little bit of Jesus into their lives. They were washed the same way Saul of Tarsus was. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. calling on his name. Why? To be white as snow. For forgiveness, Acts 2, verse 38. For salvation, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. That is the only solution. The only solution to the contaminants in my life is the blood of Jesus. And I contact that blood only through baptism. Let's go back and finish up our illustration. The really good thing about Jesus' blood is no matter how much sin is applied, that was mine, remember? We'll add some more from the world. When the blood of Jesus gets through doing its job, we're pure. There's enough for all of us. I can keep going back to the cross. And like we read in 1 John, he keeps applying the blood. The world can come to him, and there'll still be enough grace and enough blood to forgive the world. Let's get ready to close. Some of us hold off on the big house cleaning projects until spring. Therefore, the phrase spring cleaning. Spiritual cleaning is not something that can wait. Cannot even wait till tomorrow if it's the first day of spring. So addressing two groups, for those who've already been washed, we go back to 1 John, you need to confess and repent and he'll forgive. For those who have not, you need to hear what we've just talked about. You need to hear the message of the saving power of Jesus. You need to believe that he is the Son of God. You need to confess him. You need to repent of your sins and you need to be baptized. One last really quick one. One of my kids' favorite books growing up was White Rabbit's Color Book, written by Alan Baker. White Rabbit comes along one day and finds three tubs of paint. One's yellow, one's red, and one's blue. Sunshine yellow, she thought, lovely. So she takes a quick dip. Comes out Yellow Rabbit, bright as the sun. Now what about red, thought Rabbit. What's this, an orange rabbit? Red and yellow together make orange. Time for a wash, thought Rabbit. Red on its own this time. Splash goes White Rabbit and out comes Red Rabbit, sizzling hot red. How cool blue looks, thought Rabbit. What's this? Purple Rabbit. Look, red and blue together make purple. I'm a very important royal purple rabbit. Princess Purple Rabbit takes another shower. Blue will do, thought Rabbit. Blue Rabbit, ice cold blue. Brr. How warm yellow looks, thought Rabbit. What's this? Green Rabbit. Look, blue and yellow together make green. Oh dear, no more water. All that's left is red paint. Now what would happen, thought Rabbit. Hooray, brown rabbit, lovely warm brown. Blue, yellow, and red together make brown. Brown's just right for me. We can color ourselves with every color in the book. But only the blood applied with water can cleanse us, John 3 and verse 5. Without baptism, stepping away from the illustration of our book, baptism in Scripture is immersion, not a shower. Without it, we remain dirty, stained, contaminated, colored by this world. like White Rabbit, if we're not washed, remember that last time when she came out green, we remain seasick green from the illness of sin. And I want you to get this last point. The more we try to color ourselves, to change the color, to hide the sin, the darker the stain. And in the end, we'll come out as brown and as dead as a fallen leaf in winter. It may be time for your spring cleaning. It may be time for you to be spiritually washed so that you can stand fresh before the throne of God. You've seen the solution this morning as we stand and sing.